At this stage in this program, you've been exposed to learning skills that put you in the top 1% of people in our society or in the world. At every stage of human society, every revolution in thought and behavior, including the learning revolution, has begun with a small number of people. These are often called early adapters. These are the men and women who see, long before most other people, that there is a necessity to change the way they are going to do things if they want to be successful in the future. They know, and you know, that whatever got them to where they are is not enough to keep them there. One of my personal goals in life, by the way, is to change the national conversation on the whole subject of continuous learning. I have a dream that in years to come, when people meet, it will be common for them to greet each other by saying, "Hi, what subject are you studying?" And everyone will have an answer. Everyone will be working on at least one subject. Everyone will be in a form of school. Everyone will have a learning project going on at all times, and sometimes several. A major part of every conversation in the future will be about what the person is learning, and how they're going about learning it, and how they're using the new material in their work, and why it's important to them. People will be sharing learning ideas and learning methods as commonly as they share sports statistics and recipes. It will be a common topic of conversation. The only guarantee for a great future for ourselves, our families, and our society is that we all become a nation of dedicated, continuous learners. In the information age, in the age of knowledge and communications, this is the one insurance policy that will guarantee us a good life for years to come. Your main job in life, from a material point of view, is to build yourself to the point where you know that you can provide an excellent living for yourself and your family all the days of your life. And since this is a moving target, it is something that you work on continuously. Every day, every week, every month, you read a little bit, listen to audio tapes like this in your car and as you move around, and take additional training programs. In the old paradigm of learning, you got your education once, and you finished it at about the age of 20. After that, anything else you learned was either in a random and haphazard way from an occasional book, tape, or training course, or it was imposed upon you by your company. In the old paradigm, you developed the attitude that education was something that was done to you, almost as if you were a fence post and education was like being painted on a regular basis. In the new paradigm, however, you now know that education is a lifelong process. The only real difference between people with regard to education is whether or not they are good at it. People who are good at continuous, lifelong learning are the people who move to the front and stay to the front in every field in our society. People who are poor at it, for one reason or another, are people whose futures are increasingly limited. The future belongs to the competent. The future belongs to those people who acquire and apply the knowledge and skills they need to do an excellent job in the areas of their lives and work that are most important. In the previous sessions, we've talked about the four basic stages of learning. In stage one, you learn how to get yourself relaxed, confident, and ready for learning, for taking in new information. In the second stage, you learned how to get the facts in ways that suit your unique learning preferences and your special type of mind and thinking. In the third stage, you learned how to explore what you are learning, using the full range of your intelligences to understand it better from more than one point of view. In the fourth stage, you learned to make a deliberate effort to remember what you learn. You became familiar with the most popular and powerful memory techniques ever developed. You know, of course, that you develop an excellent memory by practicing these techniques, just as you become an excellent typist by practicing with a typewriter. In this session, you're going to learn the final two stages: how to demonstrate what you have learned, that you really understand the subject and can put it into practice, and how to review and reflect on the process of learning so that you can improve it the next time. To begin then, what you have to do in stage five is to test, practice, and use what you have learned so that you can make it your own personal property. There are three ways to show that you know or to demonstrate your knowledge to yourself and others. Remember, no one ever becomes an expert overnight. However, you can become an expert eventually by taking these three steps. First, Test yourself to make sure that you have understood what you have learned. Second, practice to become confident and fluent with the new material. All learning requires practice and becoming actively involved with the new material. Other than that, it just drifts away or evaporates like water on a hot day. Third, use the material to make it a part of you. Apply it in your daily life until it soaks in to your deeper levels of mind. Whatever you're learning, there's a point where you are a beginner. At this point, testing is very important. A test is a chance to explore the limits of what you can currently do or what you currently know. It's an opportunity and not a threat, as it may have been when you were going to school. It is something that you should look forward to. Remember, you can't hit a target you can't see. When you test yourself regularly, you can see clearly what it is you need to learn to get ahead. Testing yourself should be a straightforward check on your ability to do what you have been learning. So don't worry about doing it quickly or effortlessly. All you're concerned with is checking to see if you've got it or not. This is where the techniques that you've already learned can help you. For example, if it's information you're learning, try going over your memory maps or your notes. You can try memory flashing to see how much of it you remember. You can test yourself with flashcards as well. You can create a mental movie of what you've learned. Whenever I'm planning a talk that consists of, let us say, 10 points, I write them out in detail and then mentally go over them one at a time until I can give the entire talk without notes. By doing this repeatedly, I can often do an entire day of speaking, sometimes 2 and 3 days, and never refer to notes at all. And it's not because I'm particularly brilliant. It's simply because I have used these accelerated learning techniques. A wonderful way to learn a new language is by using flashcards with the foreign word or phrase on one side and the English word or phrase on the other. With flashcards, you can test yourself and have other people test you. Often, steps 2 and 3, practicing to become confident and using it to make it a part of you, are combined. You can practice what you've learned by immediately putting it to use. For some people, however, practice is a much-needed intermediate stepping stone since it builds confidence for the real-life use of new skills. In every skill, you have to think about it consciously and deliberately at the beginning. Remember how you learned how to ride a bicycle? You had to concentrate on what you were doing. It felt awkward at first, and you even fell off a few times. Gradually, as you practiced, it then became easier and easier. Eventually, it became an unconscious skill. You no longer need to even think about riding a bicycle. You just do it instinctively. When you practice the accelerated learning techniques in this program over and over, any subject that you attack will eventually become second nature. Then you'll find that learning is fast, easy, and fun. Moving from beginner to expert in any subject depends on your practicing. The typical comment made about experts is that he or she makes it look so easy. This is because the expert has thoroughly mastered the subject. The easy, natural confidence of the expert comes from familiarity through practice. Whatever you want to learn, simple or complex, you need to spend a considerable amount of time to practice the knowledge or skill. You need to apply it in a real-life situation. You need to practice it at work. A good idea is to practice it in advance of actually using it so that you feel really confident with the material when you actually apply it in the real world. There are 2 excellent ways for you to practice something before you use it in real life. These 2 ways will help you to build confidence, to anticipate problems, and to make plans to use the material more effectively. The first is mental rehearsal. This requires that you use your imagination to see yourself actually using what you have learned. This technique is used by all champion athletes and performers in virtually every field to practice their performance in their minds before they actually do it in reality. The way you use mental rehearsal is to build up a full and detailed picture of yourself in a real-life situation and then see yourself in your mind's eye performing well. This is a great way to build self-confidence and will actually improve your performance when you try it out in the real world. Gary Player, the golfer, once said the most important 3 hours that he spends in any golf game is the 3 hours on the airplane prior to the game where he goes over the entire course in his mind. In order to learn a new language faster, Visualize yourself using the language in a real-life situation. Then, practice the conversation using the same gestures and body language that you might use in talking with another person in that language. The proven way to use mental rehearsal most effectively is for you to sit in a comfortable chair, close your eyes, and breathe deeply 7 to 10 times. Then, in a state of deep relaxation, visualize yourself performing the new skill in an excellent fashion. Go over it in your mind several times while you're deeply relaxed. This programs the new skill into your subconscious mind so that when you actually try it in reality, your subconscious mind will have already learned how to do it right. It's amazing how effective this skill of mental rehearsal can be in learning virtually any subject. The second way to practice something before you use it is by role-playing. Role-playing requires that you either act out what you've learned by yourself or with someone else. If what you're going to do eventually involves other people, get someone else to work with you to practice how you go about it. This way you can hear and test out what you're going to say and how well it works. Role-playing gives you another chance to improve or refine your skills before you use them for real. It's a great confidence builder. As you can see, visualizing and role-playing activate your visual, auditory, and physical senses and increase the speed at which you internalize the information. The third stage of showing you know is to use the material. You really have succeeded in learning when you can use what you have learned independently and away from the situation where you first learned it. This is where you bring the material to life. This final step in showing you know is essential because it's where you use what you have learned in different ways and for different purposes. It enables you to develop and improve on it and really make it a part of you. It's one thing to learn to use a computer at a seminar or in a training session, but it is quite another for you to use your skills in the workplace. It's an even higher level of difficulty for you to explain what you have learned to someone else, but it's very powerful. It requires a certain amount of courage to transfer something that you've learned in the classroom into real life. To use something new means that there's a possibility of making mistakes. There's a certain amount of risk involved. It requires that you develop the courage to face the possibility that you may do it poorly at first. The person who does not make mistakes does not make anything, including progress. Too often, you feel that errors reflect on you as an individual, and as a result, they affect your self-esteem. But this is a matter of your perception, not your reality. An error should be seen as completely separate from the person who makes it. In other words, you are not your mistakes. You are you, and your mistakes are something else, as if they were in another room. If you do something incorrectly, this doesn't mean that you are a failure. It just means that you have not yet grasped the subject thoroughly. It means that you have not yet found the correct way to do it. And that is just a matter of time. Remember, you can learn anything you need to learn to achieve any goal that you can set for yourself. There are no limits. Any errors you make are helpful feedback about how you're progressing. They clarify any areas of doubt or uncertainty. They tell you where you will have to spend a little bit more time. They indicate what areas you might have to explore more deeply. So every error you make is actually a sign of progress towards your goal of fluency in the subject. Mistakes are just the signposts on the road to success. I've found that all of life is 2 steps forward and 1 step back. The more mistakes you make, and the faster you make those mistakes and learn from them, the faster you move ahead towards your goals. Thomas J. Watson Sr. was once asked by a young journalist how he could be more successful faster. Watson told him, "If you want to be a more successful faster, you must double your rate of failure." It's the same with learning. If you want to learn faster and become smarter and more competent in your field, you must double the rate of mistakes you make as you move forward. Mistakes represent an opportunity for you to see what you need to pay more attention to. So, concentrate not on how many mistakes you have made, but on what type of mistakes they are. In one example, a math student who felt depressed because he was making 39 mistakes out of 100 finally realized that he was really making the same type of mistake over and over again. Once he recognized the type of mistake and corrected it, he started getting 100% on all of his tests. This may be the same for you. Some of the most important breakthrough research in psychology in the last few years has to do with a positive mental attitude versus a negative mental attitude. The bottom line of 25 years of research is that positive people are those who explain things to themselves in a positive way. Negative people are those who explain and interpret things that happen to them in a negative way. You can become a positive person by constantly looking for the good, looking for the valuable lesson or what you can learn from every experience. Remember, it's not important always to be right. What is important is to treat each mistake as an opportunity to learn. If the fruit of any tree is out on the limb, you're bound to fall off quite regularly if you go after the fruit. Progress means taking risks, and risks inevitably entail making some mistakes. The important thing to remember is that failures are only temporary. One of the things that happens with formal learning, the learning you go through at school or university, is that you get used to having other people judge you and mark your work. However, it's much better when you start becoming the judge of your own work. This is why this fifth stage of showing you know is so important in the learning process. It's where you set your own standards and then you check your own performance against them. Remember, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first, and it's often worth doing poorly several times before you master it. Many people try a new subject or skill once or twice, and because they're not yet proficient at it, they assume that they have no natural facility for it, and they give up. But this is not for you. Your job is to do it over and over again until you have mastered it, knowing that there's no subject that you cannot master if you are patient enough with yourself and persistent enough with the material. If you're a student of any kind, get into the habit of looking at your own work before you hand it in or pass on to other work. What grade would you give it? Is it up to your own highest standards? If you hand it in to a teacher, when you get it back, ask what you could have done to get an A on the assignment. If possible, ask the teacher to show you an assignment for which he or she gave an A, and then pattern your subsequent assignments after that. You can accelerate your learning by making a real attempt to involve your family in your learning of a new subject. If you let them help you, for example, by asking them to listen while you explain what you have learned, they are also likely to gain from it. When your family is involved and understands what it is you're trying to achieve and why, they will be less likely to feel resentment about the time you take away from them to devote to learning. Another way to learn with the support of others is to find yourself a learning partner. This is somebody who is also trying to learn and understand the same subject. You can offer each other your support as you explore the subject, and you can regularly quiz each other to check how you are doing. With a learning partner, you can not only test each other, but you can compare your approach to the material with someone else. You can often learn twice as fast. When two people learn and teach together, they both benefit. Another way of testing your knowledge is to form learning circles for a new subject, especially at work. Learning circles are groups of people who are tackling the same material and getting together informally to share their experiences, questions, and findings. It's a very effective technique, and it works extremely well with groups of people who want to learn a foreign language in a corporation or organization. Another technique is to find yourself a mentor. A mentor is someone who is well ahead of you in the field and who is highly skilled in the area you are learning about. This is a person who will be encouraging, supportive, and a source of further information to you. A mentor should be someone with whom you feel comfortable and who can offer positive feedback, constructive criticism, and new ideas for you to try out. You can also learn from his or her mistakes. A good mentor can tell you some of the things that he or she has tried that have not worked and save you the time and expense of learning these things all by yourself. You should always watch other people who are doing what you are doing and take careful note of how they use the skills that you are learning. Look at the different settings and circumstances in which they put them to use. Ask the best people in your field to explain how they do what they do. This kind of informal teaching allows you to hear and see a completely different view of the subject you're attempting to learn. Research shows that when you learn from more than one person, you are twice as likely to use the skill in different situations. If you're in sales, for example, you should be looking for every opportunity to get feedback on your performance. The fact is that you simply cannot get any better by yourself. You've got to have feedback of some kind. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. You should use role-playing of your sales presentations with other salespeople in your office. Whenever possible, videotape the role-playing. Then, play back the videotapes with others and get their candid comments on how you look and how you come across. You can learn more from watching yourself perform on videotape in a few minutes than you could in a few months trying to figure it out by yourself. One of the best ways for you to learn in sales is to have someone accompany you on sales calls. Have them come along and sit quietly and observe what you do and how you do it. Have them give you feedback afterwards. This kind of coaching and counseling can enable you to make more progress in a month than you might make in a year on your own. If you're in management and you want to become better, use what is called the 360-degree technique of learning. You can use this method in one of two ways. Its purpose is for you to get feedback from all the people around you so that you know how well you're doing. The first way to use this technique is for you to send out anonymous questionnaires to all the people around you to fill out and send back. Sometimes you can use an outside consultant for this, as many companies do. These questionnaires ask your peers and subordinates, and often your superiors, to give you honest feedback on how you're performing at every part of the management process. You'll be quite surprised at the results. The way you see yourself and the way that others see you will often be dramatically different. But it's only when you get this kind of honest feedback that you'll be able to improve. A second way you can use this, if you have the courage to do so, is to invite your staff to give you candid feedback on your performance. Have them tell you directly what they like and what they don't like. Have them share with you what they perceive to be your strengths and your weaknesses. Ask them to tell you what they feel you could do to be a better manager and to help them to do their jobs better. If you're willing to invite this kind of 360-degree feedback, there are two powerful expressions that you can use to stop yourself from defending or explaining and thereby bringing the session to a grinding halt. These two expressions are "tell me more" and "for example." Whenever someone gives you a piece of feedback that you want to comment on or disagree with, instead of arguing, you take a deep breath and simply say, "tell me more." Or you resist the temptation to defend yourself and instead say, "for example." These two expressions will keep the feedback coming, and it is only with feedback that you can move toward becoming really excellent at what you do. An executive I was working with not long ago found that everyone around him thought that he was abrupt and arrogant when they came to him with questions or problems. When I tried to tell him about this perception privately, he was adamantly opposed to hearing it. He denied it vociferously. He resisted the feedback because he felt he was being challenged, that his ego was at stake. When he was forced to sit with his coworkers and subordinates and only use the expressions, "tell me more" and "for example," he was astonished to learn that everybody felt the same way. That was the beginning of his making rapid progress toward becoming a much better manager and a more effective listener with his staff. Taking advice is a real skill. It's a pity that you normally grow up regarding advice as something that always comes from the top down. Your teachers gave you advice. Your boss gives you advice. Often advice is something that is imposed on you. You rarely ask for it. Yet the relationship between teacher and student, trainer and trainee, or worker and boss, should be viewed more as a partnership, which in fact it is. You will then be more willing to seek advice actively. If you fail to seek advice from the people around you, you are cutting yourself off from a major source of information, learning, and self-advancement. And here's some advice about advice. First, ask for it frequently. People like to give advice. It's flattering to be asked for advice. Second, keep an open mind. Experts are good at giving accurate, factual information. Many are not as good at giving judgments. Make a note of those people whose advice seems consistently helpful. Not all people's advice is worth listening to or following. Third, as I said before, avoid being defensive when you ask for advice. Sometimes advice is constructively critical. Someone can criticize your behaviors and your work without criticizing you personally. Be sure that you continually make the distinction between the two. Keep saying, "tell me more," and keep asking, "for example." The sixth stage of learning, which brings the six-part model full circle, is for you to reflect on your learning. Reflecting on what you have learned is an important activity at any stage in the learning process. However, when you reach the point where you have actively used what you have learned in real situations, a period of quiet reflection is essential to getting the very most out of the learning experience. If you form the habit of thinking through how things have gone, you will truly be in control of your own life and your own learning. When we analyze successful people in any area of life, but especially with regard to learning, we find that they have three qualities that make them stand out from the average. First, they've developed the ability to create a clear vision of what they will be like and how they will be performing when they master the new subject. This vision intensifies their levels of commitment, determination, and motivation to make the vision a reality. They start with a clear goal of where they want to end up, and they constantly work toward that goal until they achieve it. The second quality of high-performing men and women is that they accept complete responsibility for themselves and for everything that happens to them. They refuse to make excuses or to blame others. They refuse to wait for others to come along and to do things for them or to them. They know that they cannot choose what happens to them, but they can always choose how they react to what happens to them. People who are totally self-responsible see themselves as the presidents of their own corporations and completely in charge of their own training and development departments. They see themselves as being in charge of their own lives and everything that happens to them. They say, if it's to be, it's up to me. A third quality of highly successful people is that they develop the habit of reflecting on what they are learning and what has happened to them. They derive every possible lesson from every experience. They take these lessons and they use them to make their future actions more effective. They learn from trial and error and they set their own standards. They measure their own performance against their vision and they constantly strive to improve. In other words, they learn from their mistakes and they use their mistakes as stepping stones to the next level of mastery that they desire. There are two simple but powerful questions to ask at any stage of the learning process and especially at the end. The first question is, what was the best and most effective part of the learning process? What did you enjoy the most and learn the most easily from? What part of the learning process seemed to work best for you? If you could learn using only a couple of ways of taking in new information, which would you most enjoy? The second question, or set of questions, is where you ask, if I was going to learn this again, what would I do differently? How could I improve the learning process next time? What could have gone better? What parts of the learning process did I find boring, frustrating, or unproductive? What would I do less of the next time around? Another excellent way to chart your progress and to demonstrate to yourself that you are learning is to keep a learning log. A learning log need only include a few brief details about the subject. The main point is that your progress is there in black and white. It's a record of your achievement. You can use a learning log to jot down a word or a concept you heard but don't know the meaning of. You can use a learning log to jot down a question that struck you for which you need to find the answer. Happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal, and a learning log enables you to demonstrate to yourself that you are making progress. Sensing progress in a subject is critical to your level of motivation. Few people can stay motivated unless they can look back and see how far they have come since they began, and a learning log enables you to do just this. A personal progress plan enables you to keep an ongoing log where you record your thoughts on the learning process. Sometimes you can make notes in a different colored ink as you are going through the subject so that you can refer back to those points when you review. A personal progress plan allows you to prepare for the inevitable ups and downs and difficulties that you'll experience when you actually use what you have learned. This enables you to see stumbling blocks as stepping stones to success. A personal progress plan enables you to see mistakes as forms of helpful feedback rather than as destructive or negative events. You keep asking yourself, what can I learn from this to be better next time? A personal progress plan enables you to continually analyze your learning experiences so that you can derive the very greatest benefit from every one. This enables you to get better and better at learning and to learn faster and faster. A personal progress plan, which can be as simple as a spiral notebook into which you write on an occasional basis, allows you to assess yourself as you go along. It assures that you will be more and more responsible for your own learning. It puts you in the driver's seat of your own future. A personal progress plan also allows you to give yourself rewards for success. Each time you recognize and reward yourself for a step forward, you unconsciously motivate yourself to learn better and faster next time. Bit by bit, learning becomes a pleasurable habit that you look forward to each time. Finally, a personal progress plan becomes like a blueprint that measures not only how well you're doing, but where you will want to go in the future with your learning. Each new piece of knowledge opens up other possibilities. When you review your own performance on a regular basis, you become more and more alert for new opportunities to move ahead. In the final analysis, all great achievements in life have been accomplished by people acting on their beliefs and convictions in the pursuit of their own visions. All great achievements in life are individual. You've never seen a statue erected to a committee. It is always the individual achievement of the individual person that stands out. And there is perhaps no area where this is more important or more obvious than in the area of learning. One of the main messages from this course is that you learn well and easily when you start playing to your individual strengths. However, you really begin to accelerate your learning when you use all your senses and all your intelligences. In other words, when you use your full potential for growth and development. All of the ideas and techniques you have learned in this program are possibilities for everyone, not just for specific people with specific learning preferences or dominant intelligences. You may feel more comfortable or less comfortable with some of these ideas or concepts. That's normal and natural. Your job is to expand out of your comfort zone and to learn how to learn more effectively by trying different methods and techniques that you may not have tried before, primarily because you didn't know about them before. Success comes when you move the edge of your comfort zone outward and you attempt something new and challenging. Meeting and overcoming challenges, especially self-imposed challenges, is an absolute requirement for ongoing personal and professional development. Some of your happiest moments will be when you stretch yourself to reach new heights and develop new skills. Just think, which would you enjoy more, to play a game and win easily, or to play a game where you have to stretch all of your abilities to win? When you become aware of your preferences and strengths and use them on a regular basis, you will find that learning is easier and faster. When you push to the edge of your comfort zone and learn a wide range of techniques, including difficult and challenging ones, you will find yourself using the whole range of your intelligences. You will then be much better equipped for lifelong learning and lifelong success. When you apply stages 1 through 6 until they become as natural to you as breathing in and breathing out, you will have truly become an accelerated learner. One of the biggest single problems faced by men and women today is a shortage of time. In seminar after seminar, when I ask people what their biggest problem is, it is almost invariably the ability to sort through an enormous number of things they have to do in a short period of time. Accelerated learning techniques are not time consumers, as you might think. Instead, they are some of the most powerful time-saving techniques you can ever learn. Instead of taking 5 or 10 years to reach a certain level in your career, with the new knowledge and skills you have to have, you can achieve the same level and the same income in 1 or 2 years by learning accelerated learning methods. Especially, since you know you must be learning continuously to stay current and to move ahead in your field, accelerated learning techniques will enable you to gain the knowledge and skills you require with far less time and effort. Instead of spending 20 hours per week of serious study to learn a subject, you may be able to learn with even greater efficiency and effectiveness in 10 hours or even 5. This means that you have even more time to spend with the important people in your life or to learn other subjects that can move you ahead in your career more rapidly. You will have a chance to learn many different subjects and skills in the course of your lifetime. Some of the skills are peripheral to your life, and some of them are central. Some of them are interesting and enjoyable from time to time, and some of them are absolutely essential to everything else you do. For example, algebra and geometry are peripheral skills. You may spend a lot of time learning them and passing the required examinations, but your likelihood of using them in your adult life and work are very small. They help to train your brain and to teach you to understand basic mathematical concepts, but they are peripheral to your future. In each field, there are core skills, what we call critical success factors. Smart people, again, are those who identify these critical success factors and then make a plan to become excellent in each one of them. They know that a weakness in any one of their critical success areas can lead to underachievement and frustration in using all the others. A skill like time management is a central or core skill. The way you manage your time affects everything else you do and everything that happens to you, because your entire life is something made up of the minutes and hours of each day. People who accomplish a lot with their lives have dedicated themselves to becoming excellent time managers. Accelerated learning, like time management, is a core skill or core competence in life. It is central to everything you do. Becoming excellent at learning to learn can do more to improve every other area of your life than almost any other skill that you can ever acquire. Learning to learn and accelerated learning techniques gives you a key that you can place in the ignition of your own potential, and you can then turn it on and take your life wherever you want it to go. At the beginning of this course, I told you about my lifelong quest for the answer to the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? I also said that the people who succeed greatly are those who know more than others in their field, while the people who underachieve and fail are simply those who know less. Your job is to join the former and get away from the latter. Your job is to be one of the most knowledgeable and skilled people in your field, and to get away from the people who are not equally committed to moving in that same direction. It's amazing how many people continue to work away at their jobs year after year and never even think about taking the time to become really good at what they're doing. For some strange reason, they don't realize that they can dramatically improve the quality of every part of their lives by that little extra effort that puts them into the top 10% or 20% in their field. Perhaps the greatest reward of succeeding at anything you really care about is not what you get, but what you become. The greatest benefit of becoming a millionaire over the course of your career is not the money and the material goods that you acquire. The greatest of all benefits is the excellent character that you have to develop in the process. To become wealthy in a highly competitive society, you must develop characteristics, qualities, and attributes that make you a more exceptional human being. And the wonderful thing is, if something happens and you lose your money once you've achieved it through the development of your character, you will almost always be able to make it back again. This is because it is the person you are, as much as the things you do, that will be responsible for your wealth. Self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride are the real rewards. It is when you reach the point where you conclude that you are really a good person, that you are valuable and worthwhile to yourself and others, that you have inner peace and contentment. It is when you feel that you have really performed at the outer edge of your potential and won through and achieving something important to you that you really feel good about yourself. The flip side of the coin of self-esteem and self-liking is self-efficacy. In other words, you only really feel good about yourself when you know that you are really good at doing the things that are most important to you. The better you do, the more you like yourself. The more you like yourself, the better you do. When you do an excellent job and you receive the recognition and respect of others, you respect yourself more as well. The more that others respect you, the more you respect yourself. The more you respect yourself, the harder you work, the better you do, and the more others will respect you, until it becomes a continuous upward spiral of success, achievement, self-esteem, self-respect, and a wonderful feeling of personal pride. I mentioned earlier that a positive mental attitude is a key requirement for success in almost any field. There's some confusion over the idea of a positive mental attitude, and the tendency of some people to be foolishly optimistic and to wish for totally impossible things. They are not the same. I prefer the concept of positive knowing to that of positive thinking. Positive knowing is when you have an absolute conviction deep down within yourself that you can overcome any obstacles to the achievement of any goals that you set for yourself. In order to reach the point where you absolutely know, with a deep inner sense of conviction, that you can learn any subject you want, you must set a learning goal for yourself and then stick to it until you succeed. You must demonstrate unquestionably to yourself that you absolutely have the ability to learn and master a new subject. What I recommend for you is that you do the same that I have done over the years. Establish a learning project and a schedule for yourself. Resolve that over the next year, more or less, you are going to learn a specific subject, and you're going to master that subject to some standard. It can be small or large, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you must convince yourself at a subconscious level that you can learn anything you put your mind to. You can set the task of learning to type 50 words per minute without mistakes. You can then get a touch typing course, preferably one on a computer, and go to work to learn it. You can decide you want to master a computer, especially the word processing and personal management programs. Set yourself a target, make a schedule, determine how you will measure your success, and then get started. Set yourself a schedule and work on it every day, every week, every month, until you have succeeded. If you're in sales, you should identify your weakest critical success factor and make a plan to become absolutely excellent in that one area that is probably holding you back. If you don't know what it is, ask the people around you for input. Have someone come out with you on sales calls. Take tests if necessary and read books. Examine your selling activity and determine the areas that you dislike the most. Almost invariably, these are the areas where you are doing poorly as well. If you're in management or if you have your own business, look at the parts of your work that cause you the most irritation or frustration. Ask for input from other people. Find out what it is that you are doing poorly and make a decision to become excellent in that area. Don't try to change the whole world at once. Be patient with yourself. Don't set a schedule to suddenly become good at a particular task in 30 days. Give yourself 3, 6, 9, or even 12 months to learn the skill. Then, work at it little by little. You'll be absolutely amazed at the progress you will make if you take the pressure off of yourself on the one hand and you follow a specific learning schedule on the other. After 30 years of research and study into success, I've come to the conclusion that success is based on 7 key principles. Of course, there are many, many more and many more variations on these 7. But these 7 serve as a platform from which anyone can achieve far more than they ever have before. These 7 success characteristics or principles are, first, a clear sense of purpose. Second, the acceptance of complete responsibility for everything that happens to you. Third, a commitment to excellence in your field. Fourth, dedication to serving other people the very best way possible. Fifth, an ability to cooperate and work well with others. Sixth, creativity, and the ability to continuously seek out faster, better, easier, cheaper ways to get things done. And the 7th is the quality of persistence. This is the determination and resolve to keep on keeping on in the face of adversity until you finally achieve your goals. In all the studies of success, the most important step seems to be the first one. The success of everything you've learned in this course will be totally determined by your willingness and ability to set a goal, make a plan, and to begin in the first place. After that, it will be your ability to persist, week after week and month after month, that will determine how rapidly you become a super learner and unlock the incredible powers of your intelligence to achieve anything you really want in life. You're only really happy when you are moving toward clear goals of your own choosing. As I said before, happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. It's only when you're working step by step toward the achievement of an important goal and you can measure your progress that you feel like a winner, that you feel wonderful about yourself. Nothing succeeds like success. Moving progressively towards your goal gives you a feeling of exhilaration, excitement, and happiness. It motivates you and enthuses you. It drives you onward and gives you the kind of resolution and persistence that enables you to overcome the inevitable obstacles on your way. In the old days, perhaps you achieved your goal by means of hard physical effort. But today, in the age of mind power, you achieve your goals by becoming better and better at the key knowledge and skills that you need to move ahead. And the more and better you learn the key skills and apply them to get better and faster results, the more rapidly you move towards your goal. Accelerated learning is therefore the key to accelerated goal achieving and the feeling of happiness and success that goes with it. The second principle, that of responsibility, is central to everything else. The great majority of adults have made a serious mistake. They missed the turn on the road, and they are going down the wrong path. The way it happened was simple. When you were young, in kindergarten or first grade, you were taken to school and education was something that was done to you. You were a passive recipient of the education. One teacher once compared education to what he called the beer pitcher method of learning. He said that at the beginning of the year, the students file into the class with empty mugs. The professor has a full pitcher of beer at the front. During the course of the semester, the teacher pours parts of the beer or knowledge into the glasses of each student. On examination day, the students then file past the teacher and pour their beer back into his pitcher in the form of the examinations. They then go out into the world having forgotten almost all of what they had learned, while the professor starts the next semester with a full pitcher. At the end of your formal schooling, you go through a ceremony. This is called the commencement ceremony, not the termination ceremony. Many people think that this ceremony marks the end of their education, but it's called the commencement ceremony because it's actually the beginning of your education. All that a good basic education in high school and university can ever teach you is how to learn for yourself from then on. There are adults in their 40s and 50s with college degrees who are still waiting for someone else to come along and do education to them. When companies arrange training programs, they often have to coax, demand, and even threaten termination to people to get them to take the additional education. The great majority of people think that education is something that they do to please someone else, and now that they're adults, they don't have to do it if they don't want to. People who accept total responsibility are those who realize that their education is in their own hands for the rest of their lives. They realize that everything that happens to them from the time they go out on their own until the time they retire is totally determined by their own willingness and ability to learn and apply the skills they need to move ahead in their fields. Here's the rule. Continuous learning is now the minimum requirement for success in any field. No company can guarantee you lifelong employment, and only you can guarantee yourself lifelong employability. You are responsible. The third principle of success is the commitment to excellence, the commitment to being the very best that you can be, and to doing the very best job you can do at anything that is given to you. It's astonishing how many people feel that they can get by with average performance. However, average performance only earns average rewards. Above average performance earns above average rewards, and excellent performance eventually earns excellent rewards. In every case where you see a person experiencing job insecurity, you see a person who has not taken the time to become very good at what they do. They are always the first people who are laid off because they're the ones who contribute the least value to their organizations. They are the easiest ones to replace. They're the ones who are least missed when they go. Don't let yourself ever become one of these. The only way that you can become one of the best people in your field is through continuous learning. It is only by learning to learn and accelerating your learning in the key areas that your field requires today and will require tomorrow that you can be the best and stay the best. There's no other way for you to achieve excellence than by committing yourself to becoming a little bit better every single day. And if you're not getting better, you are actually getting worse. If you're not progressing, you are regressing. Things are changing so rapidly today that no one can afford to stay still for very long. Whatever work you do, it is probably becoming obsolete at the rate of 20% or 30% per year, perhaps even more. By the year 2000, fully 80% of all the jobs in our society will be different and maybe even substantially different from what they are today. They will require totally different sets of skills and abilities. Your job is to keep rolling forward, and accelerated learning techniques are the fundamental skills of that process. The fourth quality of success, perhaps the most important, is the ability to render useful service to other people. We live in a service society. We live by serving others in some way. The The quality and quantity of our rewards is always determined by the quality and quantity of our service to others. In a free society, we are always paid exactly in proportion to the value of our service to our fellow man or woman. The house you live in and the car you drive is a measure of your service. If you want to enjoy greater rewards, you must increase the quality and quantity of the service you are rendering to other people. And in the information age, the only way that you can increase the value of what you do for your company and for others is by learning skills that make you a more valuable contributor. A good friend of mine is a salesman. He found that selling was becoming more and more competitive. He was a professional salesman, and he was making about $4,000 per month and working very hard at it. He realized that if he wanted to stand out from the other salespeople in his field, he was going to have to do something different. He began looking around. He realized that customers were getting busier and busier, and they had less and less time to spend with salespeople, no matter how professional or personable they were. So he began to work on his sales presentations to make them more dramatic and entertaining, as well as persuasive. He discovered the incredible world of computer-generated graphics and sales presentations that could be projected on a wall or screen from a computer. With this technology, he found that he could actually customize an entire presentation with the name of the individual and his or her company on every page in a few minutes prior to meeting with the customer. He could use graphics, cartoon figures, charts, quotes, and a variety of other devices, including animation, to make his sales presentations literally jump off the wall in front of the customer, with the customer's name appearing everywhere. He now earns more than $20,000 per month as a salesperson. His customers refer him to other prospects, telling them that you've got to meet this guy and see his sales presentation. It's better than a television special. What can you do to increase the value of your service to your customers today? What new knowledge and skills can you acquire that will make you stand out in your field? Since you're the president of your own personal services corporation, what are the things that you can do to achieve meaningful competitive advantage in your field? In every case, you will come back to the need to learn and to learn rapidly. The biggest problems facing corporations and individuals today seem to be changes in the nature of technology, changes in the nature of competition, changes and improvements in products and services, changes in the requirements and demands of human resources, and changes in the political and economic system. The bottom line is always change. And only those who are the most flexible and adaptable can possibly survive in a world of rapid, continuous, and unpredictable change. At the turn of the century, almost the entire world was made up of farmers. Even in America, which was highly urbanized at the time, fully 55% of the population lived and worked on farms. It was generally agreed at that time by the so-called experts that the mix would never change. It would take half the population in the country to feed the other half of the population in the cities. But then came the technological revolution in agriculture. Just as it had happened in Britain in the 19th century, freeing up millions of farm workers to move to the cities and to provide the labor for the Industrial Revolution, it began to happen rapidly in America as well. And the more people moved from the farms to the cities, as they were displaced by modern machinery, the more jobs opened up for them in manufacturing, and today in technology. Today, less than 3% of the population works on farms, and less than 2% of the population are really seriously in the business of farming. These few people left on the land not only produce more food than was ever dreamed of in previous decades, but they produce surpluses so huge that they are sent overseas by the shipload to those countries that are less fortunate. Today, there's a labor shortage in the cities and towns of America, but it is not a shortage for uneducated, unskilled labor. It is a shortage amongst those men and women who can perform the tasks that are needed in a high-tech society. The more rapidly you become one of them, the more continuously in demand you will be wherever you go and whatever you do. If you want to be a big financial success, just look around you and ask yourself what it is that you can do where you can serve other people the best and contribute the most value to their work and their lives. Then, commit yourself to learning what you need to learn to become really excellent at doing that job for them. The fifth key skill for success in our society is the ability to cooperate and work effectively with others. All work today is done by teams. The ability to be an effective team member and later to be an effective team leader will determine your success in life as much or more than any other single skill. On the other hand, Lack of social skills or the inability to get along with others is the major obstacle to success in any business or industry today. Interpersonal skills are so highly valued as to be almost immeasurable. And you can develop the interpersonal skills you need to perform your work in an outstanding fashion. No one is born with them. You can develop them through the processes that we have discussed here. You can decide what they are, get the information to suit yourself, activate your seven intelligences, and then commit them to memory through study and practice. In no time at all, you can add a new skill set to your toolbox of abilities and move your career forward another notch, or maybe even several notches. The most detailed studies on the skills that will be essential for you to have to survive and thrive in the coming millennium, according to the U.S. government, are almost all interpersonal skills. This is because specific knowledge and specific technological skills can and will become obsolete over time. But key interpersonal skills are things that you will need to have and use all the days of your life. The first of these skills is the ability to memorize material. This is obvious. Learning does you no good if you cannot remember it and use it at an appropriate time. The second set of skills is the ability to communicate effectively with others, the ability to speak, write, and listen well. If you can't do these in an excellent fashion, you will have to work for someone else who can. The third type of skill you will need is the ability to negotiate with others. Since all of life is a negotiation, from the time you get up in the morning and negotiate over who is going to use the toaster or the bathroom, throughout the day and through every purchase or sale you make, the ability to negotiate is a key interpersonal skill. The better you are at it, the better life you're going to have all around. You will also need the skills of problem-solving and decision-making. Fully 50 to 60% of a manager's time is spent in solving problems and making decisions. In fact, your entire life, whether as a manager or not, is one unbroken process of problem-solving and decision-making. The only choice you have about this is whether or not you're going to become excellent at it. Almost all the difficulties you've experienced in your life have been as a result of poor problem-solving and poor decision-making skills. You have come to the wrong conclusions and therefore done the wrong things, which in retrospect have proven to be very expensive and painful to you. Problem-solving and decision-making skills are again like learning to type with a typewriter. You can become extremely good at using your brain to navigate and negotiate the shoals and pitfalls of life through ongoing training. You will need the skills of influencing and persuading others as well. In fact, in life, you have two choices. You can either be good at influencing and persuading others to help you to achieve your goals, or you can be the recipient of the influence and persuasion skills of others in helping them to achieve their goals. And it's up to you. You can learn whatever you need to learn to achieve whatever you want to achieve. You need reading and writing skills as well if you want to succeed in the world of tomorrow. Since most jobs by the year 2000 will require computer literacy, and since you cannot use a computer unless you can use a keyboard and read what appears on the screen, it becomes absolutely essential for you to become a fluent reader. If for any reason your education has not prepared you to be a good reader, make it a do-it-yourself project to become an excellent reader over the next 12 to 24 months. Listen to audio tapes and build up your vocabulary. Read 2 or 3 hours every day. Get yourself a dictionary and look up the words you don't know. If necessary, take a remedial reading course emphasizing phonics, or buy one through the mail. Whatever you do, don't waste a single minute in becoming an excellent reader. All leaders are readers. It is the key to the doorway marked tomorrow. In addition to these other interpersonal skills, you will need selling skills, managing skills, delegating skills, supervising skills, and you will also need the ability to motivate others to do things and to be their best. If you're a parent, you have a tremendous need for relationship skills, both to get along better with your spouse and to resolve the inevitable disagreements and misunderstandings that will arrive, and also to bring up your children in the very best way possible. All parents want their children to succeed at life as much as possible. They want them to get the very best grades in school. They want them to be prepared to take advantage of all the opportunities that will arise when they go out into the world. Everything you do to encourage your children to dedicate themselves to their studies, to become lifelong students, will help to set them up for success later in life. And what's the most important and powerful way you can influence your children and others to be better? It's by being a role model. by setting an example in your own behavior for what you want them to be and have and do. Children and adults, for that matter, tend to ignore the things you say if they're inconsistent with the things you do. It's not what you say, but what you do that counts the most in influencing and persuading others. The wonderful thing about all these interpersonal skills is that they are all learnable through study and practice. Perhaps the most important of all the interpersonal skills is learning how to learn. With the skill of accelerated learning locked firmly in place, you can accomplish almost any task you can set for yourself. But without the ability to learn easily and well, your life will be a continuous struggle, especially with those people who have set the time aside to become excellent learners and who will then begin to outstrip everyone else in their fields. The sixth quality necessary for success is that of continuous innovation and creativity. As I said in session two, you are a potential genius. You have the ability to overcome any obstacle, solve any problem, and achieve almost any goal in your life. You have mental powers that you have not even begun to tap into. When you learn and practice accelerated learning techniques, plus the memory methods and techniques, you'll be astonished at how smart you are, how smart you become. The law of creativity is the law of use. If you don't use it, you lose it. But what we have found is that you can turn your creativity back on, like starting an automobile engine with an ignition key, simply by beginning to use it again on a regular basis. One of the exercises that I do in my training sessions is I have everyone sit down while I introduce them to the power of their minds with a simple illustration. I have all the lights in the room turned off, except for one. I then explain to the class that this one light that gives a dim glow in the room is the equivalent to the amount of brain power that the average person uses in their day-to-day activities. I then say that when people begin to use their minds more efficiently, they turn on more of their brain power. At that point, I turn on one more light. The room is now a little brighter. I continue explaining how, when you prepare your mind to learn, taking in information in the way you are best suited to learn, and begin exploring the information with your seven intelligences, you activate more and more of your brain potential. One by one, I turn on more of the light switches until the entire room is flooded with light. I then say that this brightly lit room is analogous to the computing capacity of your brain when it is fully turned on as well. It is the same brain, just more of it is now available to you to accomplish your tasks and to achieve your goals. As you begin practicing the accelerated learning techniques and methods that have been introduced to you in this course, you will be turning on light after light in your own brain until your brain begins to function like a Christmas tree covered with Christmas lights, with all of them dancing and sparkling at once. People will start to be amazed at how sharp and alert you are, and at the quality and quantity of good ideas you come up with when any problem arises. The final ingredient for success, and perhaps the most important of all, is the ingredient of persistence. In fact, if you have clear goals on the one hand and indomitable persistence on the other, there is very little that you cannot accomplish in life. All of the other characteristics and qualities are ways to leverage and to multiply your potential so that you achieve your goals even faster than you would without them. Persistence is self-discipline in action. The more you discipline yourself to persist in the face of adversity and discouragement, the more you like and respect yourself. The more you like and respect yourself, the more you'll persist, even if you don't feel that you're making any progress. And as you continue to persist, gradually you'll see the progress you're making. You will start moving step by step toward the realization of your ideals. You will feel better and better and happier and happier. You will become more and more determined, and you will persist with even greater determination. Soon, you will break through all the barriers that stand between you and your goals and arrive at the top of the mountain at last. And again, you learn to persist by persisting. You learn any talent or skill by persisting. When you begin studying to learn anything at all, especially after a long period of allowing your mind to drift with too much radio, too much television, too many newspapers, and too much socializing, you will find learning to be extremely hard. It will be like trying to push cheese through a strainer, like trying to get water out of a stone. But if you persist, bit by bit, you'll start to find it easier and easier to learn. When you begin with a foreign language, you may only be able to remember 5 to 10 words in a single session. After a week, you'll be remembering 20 to 30 words. After a month, you'll be remembering 40 to 50 words. You'll begin to astonish yourself at how much smarter you are becoming, and you'll actually see the difference in your learning ability and your performance. But you must persist. One of the most important lessons that I ever learned in life was the need for mental preparation in the accomplishment of any task. This means that you decide in advance that no matter what happens, you will keep on keeping on until you're successful. This mental preparation prepares your mind for the inevitable and unavoidable disappointments and setbacks that will arise. But when they do come about, you'll be ready. They won't get you down. They won't hold you back. You will bounce instead of breaking. You've already mentally prepared yourself to be disappointed or to be discouraged, and because you've done this, the disappointment doesn't overwhelm you. You bounce like a basketball instead of breaking like a glass. All the key qualities of success, a sense of purpose, personal responsibility, a commitment to excellence, a dedication to service, the ability to cooperate well with others, a creative mind and worldview, and persistence are all learned and learnable. What this means is truly wonderful. It means that there are no real limits on what you can accomplish. Imagine that. There are no limits. Whatever you want to be, have, or do is possible for you. The very fact that you can desire it and dream it means that you have the capacity to accomplish it. It is simply a matter of learning what you need to learn and then persisting until you succeed. Learn the 6 stages of the Accelerated Learning Program. Take some time to prepare your mind and your environment so that you learn in the very best way. Get the information in a way that you most enjoy and that is most comfortable to you, whether you are visual, auditory, or physical. Explore the information using your 7 intelligences. The more different ways you play with new information, the more likely it is that you will develop the necessary associations and connections that will enable you to use that material on demand. Learn a series of memorization techniques, especially the ones you most enjoy, and practice with other techniques that may appeal to you. The more memory skills that you have in your mental toolbox, the easier you will find to retain and apply new material. The 5th stage is to show you know and to demonstrate your knowledge. Explain it or teach it to others. Practice it by yourself and in real-world applications. Finally, continually evaluate the learning process so that you can make it better and better. Give yourself feedback and get feedback from others. Each time you embark on the learning of a new skill, you should be able to do it faster and easier. You should find better and better ways to make it more fun and more enjoyable. Learning should soon become one of the most positive and exciting parts of your life. When you finish listening to this program, page through the workbook and do the exercises one by one. Let the material soak into your mind like tea leaves soak in hot water. Then, select a subject that you're going to master in the next few months. Write it out as a positive, present tense, personal affirmation. Then, listen to this program again. After a month, when you're well along in your new do-it-yourself project, again, re-listen to this program. Each time you re-listen, you will be amazed at how much more you remember and how much more you learn. You will be establishing a series of hooks and associations in your mind that enable you to learn more and more, faster and faster. Listen to this program again in 3 months, and then 6 months later. By that time, you will be very impressed at how much quicker, smarter, sharper, and brighter you are. You will be learning and remembering new material and new subjects at a faster rate than you ever believed possible. Most of all, you will feel wonderful about yourself. You will have higher levels of self-esteem, greater self-confidence, more optimism, and higher levels of physical and mental energy. Your mind will dance like a Christmas tree covered with lights. You will be sharper and more creative. You will be more positive and optimistic. You will have a tremendous sense that you are in complete control of your life and everything that happens to you. You will have set yourself up for life by becoming an accelerated learning machine. You will absolutely know in your heart that there is nothing that you cannot learn to achieve any goal that you can set for yourself.
If you enjoyed this program from Master Motivator and Success Coach Brian Tracy, you are probably the type of high achiever that would benefit from Brian Tracy's personal success coaching program. This one-on-one coaching program is unlike any self-development tool ever offered. Imagine spending 12 weeks with your own coach who has been personally trained by Brian Tracy. Your coach will aid you on building your life strategies, guiding you as you take action steps toward making your greatest desires a reality. If you are like many, you often set goals, but sometimes lack the motivation to carry them through. With the ongoing nurturing and guidance of your personal coach and this outstanding program, you will be accountable for the changes you want to make in your life, and you'll soon see those changes becoming a reality. Created exclusively for Nightingale Connett by Brian Tracy, this program has had massive life-changing results on those that have committed themselves to it. It consists of a minimum of 12 weeks of 30-minute one-on-one telecoaching sessions with a trained personal coach. Accompanying the program are 12 cassette tapes, one for each week of study, along with a guidebook. This extraordinary program focuses on every aspect of your life and helps to integrate and balance your life success skills along with your business growth. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program offers you guidance in the areas of strategic planning, intelligence, health and fitness, power, career success, time management, financial planning, life success, relationships, goal setting, leadership, and building character. Your life will magically transform as you turn your conceptualized thoughts into active steps toward achieving your goals. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program is one of the most comprehensive, powerful self-development programs to date and is designed to fit your goals, dreams, and desires both personally and professionally. Act now, today, and call in to receive further information and your free personal success profile with one of our trained personal development representatives. Designed with Brian Tracy, this profile will identify your strengths and pinpoint your growth opportunities. We offer this analysis to you at no cost and no obligation, so don't delay. To register for this outstanding coaching program or to receive your free personal success profile, call Nightingale Connett now at this number, 1-877-297-9799. That's 1-877-297-9799 and ask for Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Profile. It's one phone call that could change your life.